Romans chapter 4. Went to the hospital the other night, see a guy. He's 54 years old, got cancer. He's up at Christian Hospital. And Dave Cassidy. And John Bottomley asked me to go see his boss. That was his boss. So I went in there, and he'd been in there for a while. They've taken a lot of his intestines and his stomach, everything from cancer. And he said to me, I went in and I told him, I said, I'm John Bottomley's pastor and preacher. I said, John, tell you? He said, yeah. He said, you told me you was going to come see me. I wanted you to see you. And so I started talking to him about his soul. And he got all choked up, and he said, I died three times. And he said, I was in darkness, but I could see a little corner at a quarter of my eye or on the side was a little light. So I said, well, that means God's got a purpose for you, man. And I said, I'm here to tell you what the purpose is. And so I went through it and explained to him about salvation. And I said, would you like to get saved? Big, you could tell he's a big guy. He's laying in bed, and he reached out and grabbed my hand. He said, I want to get saved. Amen. And he asked the Lord to save him. And bless my heart, I showed him, you know, some scripture. He said, give me something to read, but something easy to read. I said, I will. So I was getting ready to leave, and I forgot to give him a track, and I went back and gave him this track from name and everything on. I said, call me anytime. So I went back, and I prayed with him again. I said, God, keep my brother safe. Help the doctors, Lord, no infections, and because, I mean, they cut him open everywhere. And he had cancer throughout his body. He said this to me. He said, all that partying, all that drinking, all that drugging, everything, everybody glorified, and they glorify when you're young. He said, that's a bunch of bull. And he said the word. He said, that's a bunch of bull, man. He said, I did that most of my life. He says, just a bunch of bull. And I said, I'd like for you to tell some kids that. He said, I will. God brings me out of here. Yes, sir. I held his hand, and as I prayed, I said, God, keep him safe and everything. I was getting ready to pull away from him, and he held onto my hand, and he said, God, keep my new preacher safe, too. Amen. Amen. I went down the hallway going, yeah! Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. Romans chapter 4. It's always good to see somebody get saved, man. Amen. Especially somebody that's that close to death. Romans 4, talking about Abraham imputed righteousness. And I told you we are Abraham's seed by faith, not by the law. And the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And Romans chapter 4, look at verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then, if then reckon, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, saying the circumcision was a sign. It was a sign to that they were a separated people. They were, and that's where circumcision, whenever a male gets circumcised, is where the seed comes from. And the seed comes from males, and the seed for to bring forth a child, it comes from the male, and God's circumcised. And that circumcision, Abraham went out and circumcised all his servants, everybody, and after God gave him this sign of circumcision, and he went out and circumcised them. It's for a separation, and circumcision has benefits, as you know. Now they've circumcised most all the males if the parents want to, because it keeps infection away, and when you got saved, God circumcised you, whether male or female. God circumcised you when you asked Jesus Christ to save you. And boy, thank God he did. I mean, and the reason why is the seed. The seed is so important. God's seed is inside you, and God wanted to protect that seed. So he circumcised your flesh from the soul. Because, see, that's before in the Old Testament, people weren't circumcised spiritually. They weren't circumcised spiritually. So there, that's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the Old Testament, the flesh and the soul were stuck together. And that's, they were stuck. They were together. So when a person died, their soul, you know, and it affected, their flesh affected their soul. And whenever they touched something, that's why the Bible says don't touch, don't, you know, all that. But their flesh affected their soul. Now that you're saved and you've been in a New Testament, Jesus Christ died for you, your flesh cannot affect your soul. What I mean by that is your flesh cannot affect your eternal destiny. Amen. Where in the Old Testament it could. Amen. It could affect your eternal destiny. Because if the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And a person sin, they affected their soul. It caused their soul to get defiled. And so when God saved you, God did a circumcision on you. And he made it where you couldn't lose it. See, that's why in the Old Testament, David said, in Psalm 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But why? Because David had sinned. God took it from Saul. Saul, you know, the argument was, did Saul go to heaven or hell? But God took it from Saul. Because his flesh affected his soul. And you said, well, what happens if a person's flesh is defiled? And there's, you know, but if they went to the temple, they took the sacrifice, they did all the things that they were supposed to, that keeping the law, then they were, it was postponed, they were in. But if they didn't, then they went to hell. And so when New Testament, when Jesus Christ came, that's why he had to die. He had to come. He had to go to hell for you and I. And he come back up, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit of promise is what does the work. The Holy Spirit, it takes the word. That's why, see, the devil hates this book. Why? He hates this book because it's the sword of the Spirit. We're saved by the word of God, hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And we're saved that way. And the Holy Spirit will take the sword of the Spirit and cut the soul loose from the flesh so you can't affect your soul. So that's why you can't lose your salvation. You know, there's 7.5 billion people upon the planet. If 10% of them are saved, then 10% of that is what, 700 and some million. And out of 10% of the 700 and some million people, there's only probably 10% that really know that they're eternally saved. Right. Only 10%, if that, that know that they can't die and go to hell. Now, a lot of people that believe that they can lose their salvation, you know, some of them probably even live cleaner than some that that believe that they're never going to lose their salvation. Because why? They're scared to death, thinking they might go to hell because of it. And what happens is that they say, I've had people tell me, that's a damnable heresy teaching that you can't lose your salvation. No, it ain't. It's a security. But the problem is what you do with it is up to you. What you do with it. I mean, I'm secure in Jesus Christ. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. So are you. Amen. I can't lose my salvation. So does that mean I can go out and live like I want? No, it doesn't. You get chastised. And you might go to heaven sooner than you think. So I wouldn't want to go to heaven in a rebellious state, knowing I was saved. And I went to heaven and have Jesus Christ look at me like he did Thomas. I wouldn't want the Lord to look at me and say, after you see all the glory, all the things he'd done for you, went all that, and you go, oh my God, give me another chance. That's why you get a hold of something, you get a hold of this book, you get a hold of the faith, and you start growing and get your faith stronger in the Word of God and all that. You start going, man, this world is not my home, man. This stuff down here, it doesn't attract me like it used to. The sparkles and everything doesn't attract me like it used to. It doesn't make me want it so bad. Amen. What happens is Christians don't get in the book. They don't grow in faith. They don't understand things. And the sparkles get them.
That's right.
All the little sparkles get them. They'll fall by the wayside. And they won't become fruitful. And the Lord, you know, he wants you to be fruitful. Amen. So circumcision is important. It's important in a Christian's life. Now, Abraham, he didn't have circumcision, and then God gave him the circumcision, and he went forth, and he did the operation, and we looked at that operation last time in Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians 2. It's real simple. God, when you got saved, God did operation on you. And thank God he did. I'm glad I can't lose my salvation, man.
Amen.
Brother, if you think about this, what sin would it be that you could lose your salvation for? And then what happens is these people walk around, they don't never know if they're saved or lost. You say, are you saved? Well, I did get saved when I was younger, but I don't know if I'm saved now because of the things I've done. But see, what you do is I tell people, I say, well, get right, man. Get right with God. But when God saved you, it's just like, it's a shame that people don't know their God is their father. And he wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know fellowship with him. He wants to have that fellowship with you. And it's a shame that people go around in this life and are saved, but they don't really know it because they think what they've done in the past has caused them to lose their salvation. And then it causes a stumbling block. And they start falling, and they don't live for God like they should. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When you got saved, God circumcised you. He took the word. That's why this Bible is so important. That's why the devil wants to get the Bible away from you. That's why all these new religions got their own Bibles and all that stuff, because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing. So the word of God does the dividing. And it'll start, when the more you read the thing, the more the word of God will start cutting things off in your life. Say, you don't need that. Get that out of your life. Get that out of your life. That's what preaching is supposed to do. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. God will take his sword, the sword of the Spirit, and say, you need to quit that. You need to add this to your life. You need to add faith to your life. You need to add virtue to your life. You need to add these things in your life. You need to add this stuff and then cut away some stuff. And that's what a husbandman does of a vineyard. If you did farming, you know you got to get the weeds out. You got to get stuff out to keep it from choking the good seed. And that's what God does. He starts cutting things out of your life. And when I got saved, the Lord, I was drinking from the time I was a baby. My father put in my, the Lord said, you don't need that no more. That music, it's got to go.
Amen.
That stuff's got to go. Amen. And the Lord starts cutting, and it hurts. When he starts cutting. But then he adds things in the place of it. He said, here, this will help you. This is a salve that will help you. It'll help some good seed to come through. And good fruit come through. God wants good fruit in your life. And as a Christian, that's what we should be producing, good fruit. And if you got to stay away from anything that's going to produce bad fruit in your life. You got to stay away from it. And if you don't, then God's going to do something about it. Why? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. He's going to do something about it. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcision with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, that's spiritual. It says, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting which of ordinance that was against us, which the law brought against us, the ordinance against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy days or in the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the whole body is of Christ. He's saying, once you're saved, I mean, you don't have to be worried about, you know, keeping these laws and these holy days and all that stuff. He said all that stuff, that was part of their redemption. And what happens, like I said, people get caught up. So circumcision is important in my life. And man, the more I realize I got to get cleansed every day because of this body, like I said before, this flesh hates God. Your flesh hates God. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. You have cravings. The cravings will hit you. The old man, that's the old man saying, man, I'd like to have some of that right now. I want it. And you go, and the more you get in this book, you get stronger and you say, shut up and get back in your hole. Shut up. You say the old man's always going to be there. It's up to you whether you're going to feed him.
Right. Yep.
It's up to you whether you're going to let him have his way. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? That's why I showed that brother the other night. I said, you know, God forgave you all your sins in the past.
That's right, amen.
He said, all? I said, all. Man, that'd do something for you. It could bring tears in my eyes.
Amen.
God forgave me all my past. But from the time I got saved, from here on, I got to give account for it. We're children of Abraham by faith. And Abraham, but the real seed of Abraham was the Jews, the Jewish people. Now, go back to Romans chapter 4. He says, and verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness. Circumcision is a seal. The Holy Spirit cuts the soul loose and says, circumcision, seal of righteousness of the faith which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heirs of the world. Notice that. Abraham had a promise. Heir of the world. Was not to Abraham to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You know, the Bible says for a Christian, all things are yours. And that's why Jesus gave that thing. He said, you know, you'll rule and reign with me. You suffer with me, you'll rule and reign with me. Man, that's, you know, it's not saying you go out looking for a suffering. You go through what you go through and keep plowing on serving God and trying to win people to Jesus Christ. If they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. You need to underline that verse right there. The people ask you, what about babies? Where do babies go? Where no law is, there is no transgression. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So little babies are safe. They're not saved, but they're safe. If they pass, you know, that's why the Bible gives you the responsibility. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he's not depart from you. As a father or mother, we're responsible to raise our children in the Word of God and teach them about Jesus Christ and teach them the truth, and then raise them up to they might come to Jesus Christ when they come of age of knowledge, accountability. That's our responsibility to do that. And if my child goes to hell because I didn't do my job, shame on me. If I didn't live for God in front of them like I was supposed to increase their faith, shame on me.
Amen.
God's going to hold me accountable for that.
Right.
He'll hold you accountable for your children.
Amen.
And your grandchildren. Therefore, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of promise might be sure to all the seed. Notice they keep saying that seed. The Bible says God's seed is inside of us. And the seed is the word of God. The seed, the word of God. He says, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. God said, God could see in the future. God knows the future, folks. And when it comes down to seeing things in the future, he gave John, the beloved, the book of Revelation, and he said, here, write this down. He gave you insight to the future. And also for a Christian, he gives you insight to the future through his word. You got his word, the insight. He says, as written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. It says, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is his physical seed. And he says, being not weak in faith. Notice that. Being not weak in faith. Now let me ask you something. Are you weak in faith? Are you weak? Say, well, if I'm weak, if you're weak, it's not God's fault.
Amen.
It's your fault. If you're weak in faith, why? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
The more you, now I realize somebody just getting saved, somebody just growing, then they're kind of weak in faith. But you're supposed to grow in faith. The Bible talks about faith all the way through the Bible. Look at here. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look what Jesus said about ye of little faith. Look at Matthew 6. I like this chapter of Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and look at verse 29. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? He's talking to his disciples. And he says, look what else he says. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth. I love that. We have a heavenly Father above. He cares. He knows your thoughts. He knows your dreams. He knows everything. Boy, you can trust him. He's our Father. And you know what? If you're saved, he wants you to treat him like your Father.
Amen.
And he would treat you like his children. You know what? There's not a father on this planet that doesn't want to give his kids good things. Unless he's not right, something's wrong with his head. God the Father wants to give you good things. And he knows what's good for you. And that's where you come down to, you got to trust him. He knows what's good for you. I'm thinking about, you know, as a kid, my mother and my father would hold my hand, you know, keep me from running out in the street and all those things. And when they pass away, you're sitting there looking at them and thinking about how many times they protected you and how they took care of you and fed you, how they loved you. Even if your mom and dad wasn't saved, they still try to take care of you. And they would give their life for you. Most people, you know, fathers that right in mind, mothers, they would give their life for you. And God, he wants to hold your hand. He wants to protect you. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to call on him. He wants some things. But you have a free will. You can make that choice. He wants you to say, help me, Lord. Help me to walk this faith. Help me walk this life of faith. Help me to please you. Help me get strong in the faith. Help me not to be so weak and always doubting whether you love me. Always doubting whether you care for me. Christians get that way. They doubt whether God cares and God loves them and God wants to take care of them. He don't want you to doubt him. He wants you to trust him. You say, why, Lord? Why? This is like a child say, why? Jordan always says to me, Jordan asked me a lot of questions. My grandson always asks me questions. And then I say, this, well, son, it's because of this. He goes, why? Why? And then sometimes I just got to say to him, well, you don't understand now. You just don't understand. You know what God has to do sometimes? You don't understand. You just got to trust him.
Yep.
You just got to trust him. Why? Why, Lord? Why do I got to go through this? We put our kids through stuff so they won't be spoiled. We put them through stuff so they be hard. I read about that Japanese soldier that was on the Philippine Islands. He didn't surrender to 1970-something. World War II was over in 1945. There was four Japanese soldiers. One of them walked out of the jungle and just gave himself up. And one was, I think, killed. And then another, I forget what happened to him. But the fourth guy would not surrender.
Hero or not?
Yeah, he would not surrender. And he even killed some people. And the president of the Philippines pardoned him for all that he did. They stole, they killed, because they thought the war was still on. And finally, they brought his commanding officer back in uniform and everything, had to bring him out there to the jungle, call him out, and didn't give him the orders, because his guy kept his orders. He just followed orders. And gave him orders that he could surrender. And he surrendered. He gave up his sword. And, man, you're talking about 30 years after the war was over. And he thought all the thing was, they're dropping leaflets, and they had the Japanese drop stuff. I mean, they did everything to stop this guy. And he said, oh, it's just propaganda. They're just trying to deceive me. They're just trying to deceive me. And the guy would not surrender. And finally, he goes back, and he says, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going back to Japan because the kids are too weak. I'm going to teach them to be strong. They're weak. And what we see today in Christianity is weak.
That's right, preacher.
Weakness. Quitting every time you turn around. Thrown in the towel. I quit. I quit. When it comes to God, a lot of things they don't quit on. They won't quit evil. Won't quit. They won't quit the, you know, following their father, their former father. But they'll quit doing service for God. Look on down, look what he says. Verse 32. After these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient today, unto the day, is the evil thereof. We're always thinking ahead. How, you know, I'm going to gain this, I'm going to gain that. There's nothing wrong with that, having a plan. But we're always thinking ahead, trying to get this. And the Lord says, I'll take care of you. And I know this is in the Beatitude. I know this is during the millennial and tribulation, some of this scripture here. I know that. But you can apply it spiritually to a Christian. You can apply that. It says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient on the day is the evil thereof. Trust God daily. That's why you got to read your Bible every day. Amen. You just can't read the Bible one time and say, I got it. It's good. I'm good. Amen. It's just like saying, I'm only going to eat one time and I should be good for the rest of my life. You can't do that. So you got to study the Word of God, get in the Word of God on a daily basis. But look what he says. Oh, you have little faith. How's your faith? Are you strong in the faith? I mean, man, I want to be strong. I want to be strong in faith. I want to be stronger. I want to be stronger. Look in Romans chapter 4 again. Look what it says. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When God says, I'm going to give you a child, you already hear he had a child. But God didn't count that child. That child was Ishmael by a bondwoman. God said, he's not going to be the heir. He's not the heir. It's almost type of old man, new man. It's the type, you know, your old man's not going to be heir. It's the new man. Amen. The promised seed. When you get God's seed inside you, now you're going to be an heir with him. You're not the old man. The old man's not going to reign. The old man's not going to reign with him. And if you think the old man will, you're wrong. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, which yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's 90 years old. God said, I'm going to give you a child. Can you imagine that? I went up to Brian's, Peyton's wife was at the Dunkin' Donuts, and it was Shannon and their daughter and Debbie, Shannon's mother. And I walked them old clothes, and they were in there. I said, what y'all doing? They said, we're planning a baby shower. And I just, I know I freaked them out. I went, oh, Linda, I'm having a baby. And Shannon went, she hugged me, and she went, what? I said, Linda, I'm having a baby. She said, it's like she didn't pay attention to me anymore. She went and sat down. And I said, hey, Linda, I'm having a baby. Y'all going to give us a baby shower? And they just kind of, Linda said, you probably walked in, and they said, that guy's a pervert or something, man. What's wrong with that guy? But I was just messing with making them, they were like, if I say that to my kids, I said, Mama and I, we're going to have another child, another baby. And they go, good night. Don't talk like it makes us sick. Can you imagine a 100-year-old man standing up saying, me and my wife, 90 years old, we're getting ready to have a baby. God promised us. You think, This old pervert, what's the matter with you? But God gave him a baby. 100 years old, man. And she, now, I'm sure he wasn't like a wore out 100-year-old man. I imagine his body at that time, when Abraham's body, he was probably about like 50 years old.
He wasn't a couch potato.
Huh?
He wasn't a couch potato.
No, he wasn't a couch potato. But he was probably around 50, his body in a sense of about 50 years old. He lived to how long? How many of y'all know how long he lived? Huh? Hundred? Can you imagine that? Wow. How would you like to live 175 years? Only way I wouldn't live in 175 years is with a new body. That's the only way I'd live. I woke up this morning, I said, man, that kind of hurts. Man, that hurts. You get up, oh, man. How old are you? 60 years old. Man, I shouldn't be hurting like that. But God made a promise to him to give him a child. And the child was Isaac. What a thing. And that was the seed. And it says, he staggered not. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. You know, when you think about somebody staggering, you feel like they're like drunk. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in the what? Strong. He believed God. I believe in having faith in God, trusting him. But then, you know, the Bible comes down and says, rightly divided word of truth. A lot of people try to say, well, if you don't believe these faith healers and all that stuff, then you're not really strong in the faith. No, these guys are a bunch of phonies, a bunch of fakes. And they don't rightly divide the word of truth. And God gave signs and wonders to the Jews. And the Antichrist is going to show up, going to have signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and all that stuff. Now, I believe this. I believe God does special things for people in special situations. Missionary Wyatt was up here the other night. He speaks in Swahili. And he got up and spoke in Swahili and stuff like that Wednesday night. And God gave him the language to be able to figure it out and speak it. I think that's a blessing. And I believe in record time. I believe God can give people special things. And when he calls somebody, he can equip them to do whatever he needs or whatever he wants them and whatever he called them to do. God can equip them. But these guys claiming, like I was telling Bill and Trisha and them, these guys that claim they got the apostolic accession and all that stuff, you better watch out for that mess. These guys are a bunch of phonies. They're just trying to con people like Benny Hinn. And you got all these guys on TV slapping people down. They're falling out and speaking. I was telling them this morning, I said, I had a friend of mine who went to a charismatic church. And he called me up. His name is Tony Hoss. He's dead now. And his wife and him started having problems because she went to this church and she got speaking in tongues and rolling around on the floor. He went there and there was a woman preacher. And she slapped him down. Tony wasn't no slouch. He was a pretty good sized boy, and he was strong as an ox. And this woman slapped him down. She had bodyguards around, big old bodyguards there. And she slapped him down, and Tony called me up later. He said, man, I couldn't get off the floor. He said, well, she slapped me down. He said, I was down there, and something was holding me. He said, what was that, Alan? What was it? I said, it wasn't God. That wasn't God. And he said, and then his wife was listening on the phone. She started yelling at me. What are you talking about? You tell him, you know. And I said, you know. But she got into this stuff. And then what happens is they start believing they can lose their salvation. Then they get away from God. It just blows them apart. And so you got to watch out for that mess. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. And there's a lot of churches that teach that stuff. Teach that if you don't have faith, then you can't get healed. Now, God wants you to be strong in the faith, and I've seen God heal people. I've seen God do it, but it wasn't through me. I believe in, you say, well, you know, we believe in healing. That's why we call, you know, the Bible says, call the elders together, anoint them with oil, believing God. If God chooses to heal them, I'm going to pray over a guy today. He's got 5 types of cancer in his body right now. Young guy, 5 types. And if something doesn't happen, he's going to die. And if God doesn't do something for him, and he loves the Lord, Stuff you said, well, I don't understand that. I know, but I just want to trust God. I know God can take care of things. And so faith, man, faith can be strong, but, you know, it's God's will. If it be God's will, if not, you know, God will heal. These guys at Faith Healers and Benny Hinn, all this stuff, he goes like this. He goes, whew, and the whole crowd falls down. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff ain't God. It's satanic. The Antichrist is going to have power when he shows up. He's going to do healings, just like the like Judas in the Bible. Judas healed people. And what happens is you get in such pain, you get in such desperate need and wanting to get healed, you'll do it, try anything. You'll go for anything. And some of these people, they get caught. I was telling them this morning, I had a friend of mine I went to Bible school with, and he went to, it was Ernest Angsley. Remember, how many of y'all remember Ernest Angsley? He was the faith healer. He set up a big tent. Ernest Angsley had bodyguards. And these two guys I know went to Bible school with him. They waited outside and seen a woman pulled up in a van with her little son that was in a wheelchair. And they asked her, how long has he been, you know, she said, he was born crippled. I'm coming here, maybe he can heal him. Maybe he can walk. Maybe he'll be able to walk. And a mother believes, man, wanting to see her child heal. Man, and they asked her, said, can we push him up to the line? And she said, sure, would you do that? So they got in line, and Ernest Angsley was slapping people down. It's always something you can't see, you know. It's always a healing that you can't see. You know, so-and-so just got healed of their, you know, bone marrow or in problem, and it's always something you can't see. And now I say this, the devil can heal too. Amen. I've met some people that got healed, but they weren't saved. I talked to them, I said, you're not saved? You got healed? Yeah. I said, well, what are you waiting for? Amen. And I said, if God did good to you to heal you, maybe you ought to get saved. Well, I'm just not ready yet. Come on, man. But anyway, these guys pushed this boy in the wheelchair, and they got up to the platform, and the guards or the bodyguard said, y'all go to the side over here. They could see this kid was real. It was something real. And they said, no, we want him to heal him. We want him to heal him. They said, no, you don't understand. And they bought physically threw these guys out. They had four bodyguards grab the guys, throw them out, and took the boy and went back to his mother. And mother went out of there, and they waited out front, and she was out crying. And then it's just a bunch of cons.
Amen.
Now, I believe God can heal. I know he can. Amen. But it's his choosing and whether he would do it or not. Sometimes, you know what? Jesus healed a guy over, and he said, it was, look at John chapter 11. We have to stop here. Look at John 11. I think it was about Lazarus, I'm thinking. I think verse 39 is Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha said, and here's Lazarus dead, man. He was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days already. And Jesus tells them, he said, you'll believe me. And some were saying, could not this man heal him? And then it says, he said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, I said unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead were laid, was lain. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And a lot of these guys, they try to imitate that. And this is a real deal. He raised the dead. And Jesus walked by, and he even said one time to a woman, he said, if you have faith, he said, this is for the glory of God. And that's what he said here. He said, thou shouldest see the glory of God. God's able to do things exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, but it's for his glory, whether he chooses to or not. If God chooses to heal you or not. I've seen God do it, but I've seen him not do it. I had a guy, I went to the hospital one time. I prayed over this guy. They was They called me up. They said, you got to get here. He's going to die. And I was in Kent General. And all the family was there. I walked in. And he was related to Mrs. That lived out right by you, the old lady.
Mrs. Rhodes.
Mrs. Rhodes. It was her son-in-law. And I went in the hospital there, and he was dying. His kidneys and his everything was failing, and they had a helicopter waiting to take him off. And all the family was there, and they said, well, he probably won't make it to the Baltimore hospital. And so we got down. I said, hey, guys, let's pray. And we prayed, and I laid hands on him and prayed, God, please, God, say, have mercy on him. He wasn't saved.
Wayne Carroll.
He wasn't saved. And I said, God, have mercy on this man. God, don't let him die. And the doctors are saying, really, there's no hope. 2 weeks later, after that night, I forgot all about it. He walks in the church here. Walks up to me. I didn't know who he was. He walks up to me and says, you remember me? I said, your face looks familiar. He said, well, I'm the guy you pray. He said, even though I was in a coma, he said, I heard you praying. He said, God raised me back up. And I said, are you saved? He said, no. I said, you need to get saved, boy. You need to get right. And he asked the Lord to save him. And I said, you need to stay right. You need to stay right. He went right back out after about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. He went back out, started living like it did, and he ended up dying. I said, if God gave you the life and he's healed you, then you ought to live for him. And I said, if you don't, he'll deal with you. And so anyway, we got to stop right there. Amen. People are standing in the hallway right now. All right.